Thank you for joining tonight's episode of Dustine Podcast. My name is Dustin Mader, and I'm a visual artist. I've always been fascinated by the creative muse and where it comes from, and I'm always interested in talking with my friends and people that excite me and stimulate my imagination, and see where they get their inspiration from and what they're working on. In tonight's episode, we're going to be talking with a good friend of mine, Steve Jacob, and his adventures in the supernatural and the Native American world. So thanks for coming on, Steve. Can you tell us more about who you are and what you work on?
Well, my name is Steve Jacob, and I grew up in a small town in the corner of the state called Broken Bow, Oklahoma. I'm a member of the Choctaw Nation, and I dabble in mass media right now. I'm producing things, video, audio, and that sort of nature.
Can you tell us about one of the bigger projects that you've been working on right now in regards to your supernatural show?
Well, the show that we're talking about is a Native American paranormal project, and what we do is we go to primarily Native sites that has a Native history there, and we try to find out, we can collect some EVPs, which is, your voice is out of nowhere. And we try to collect them and record them on our devices we have. So that's what we do, and we just try to find a spot, and this last spot we found was in Northeastern State University at Tahlequah. They had a building there which was called the Bacon Building, which is over 130 years old. And we did a live taping of our show there, as through Facebook, which you can go live. And we also included our audience on that. And that turned out to be pretty great. We got over 10,000 hits and
wow.
Also caught a bunch of EVPs. And the thing was, that was great about it, was the people on Facebook picked it up better than we did. And they wrote it in real time what was happening and what they heard.
Holy mackerel, that's cool. What inspires you?
What inspires me to do what I do? I think what I like to do, as a child, I've always enjoyed hearing stories, The Choctaw stories, I forget what they call them, It's about, how the rabbit got a short tail and things of that nature. And I'd hear them from my grandmother. And then I enjoyed it at times when people told scary stories. So, and in keeping with that vein, as I got older, you also want to educate people. And, I always seen the mass media tool as a good education and a worldwide education. And, that's what I want to do. And what not better for us as natives to put our own stories out in media form. So, and that's what inspires me, because it's educational as well as, you put yourself out there and let everybody know what's going on.
Absolutely. Using your own voice to tell our stories.
Right.
That's awesome. What are you doing that you'd say daily or yearly that you would consider to be being a good ancestor?
Being a good ancestor, just being a good person, just trying to help the youth. I think that I grew up as a child, I had my aunts and uncles and my cousins, extended family, as you do in Native ways, they're always on you one way or the other to do good. You got to do this. So, and that just only comes from, that tight kinship Natives had as this history shows, we was always societies and families and clans. So, I think that's one of the things that we all need to do. And we kind of lost that as we had to get into colonialism and, changes. But it's coming back now, as you see, and all the tribes are working in their language and family and trying to get things together and get it back to what we were. And that's what I'm inspired by, seeing close families and good things to come of that.
That's awesome. I really do appreciate you taking the time and really breaking down a lot of these ideas and really giving answers that, we may think about, and it's cool to kind of hear more detail about what
I think of it. Yeah. That's just what I think. But yeah. I was lucky to have good parents, two parents, and they put a lot, and they whipped me too, of course. I deserve a lot of it, but it's just what it is, and I try to be like my parents were, and they were like they were. So that, once again, that goes back to ancestors and how you were raised as a family.
Indeed. So what are you working towards creatively? What is your goals that you're wanting to kind of accomplish in your storytelling?
Well, one of the goals I do have is, you know, I have a lot of knowledge. I got some knowledge of stickball, but I also have a lot of footage of stickball that when it first started up, when we first got teams together to go, and the Oklahoma Choctaws had gotten a team to go to Mississippi, and in my mind I thought, you know, that's some kind of historical significance there, because it's been since removal that really we got to go as an invited team.
Yeah.
And to play in the big World Series. So
What year was that?
I believe that was 7 years ago, so that'd be 2010, I believe, if not around there. And I first had signed up just to go to be a, you know, videographer. And I had played some stickball in my youth and stuff, but when I was there, and I was like, I got fired up, and I said, put me on the roster, man, I'm going to play. So I didn't have the best video recording of that first game, but because I was too busy running back and forth playing and doing that. But, you know, that's what I want to show. I want to show history of things like that. I don't know if I want to be the one to be it, but maybe it'd inspire other people to do their histories. And, you know, the Choctaw Nation's doing pretty good as it is, and we're just trying to help out, and that's probably I'm just trying to help all the people out.
Kind of sounds like you have like a documentary of sorts.
I believe it's going to, it could be, yeah. It's pretty much going to have to be in that vein. You know, I understand what a task it is to undertake, to do it, and I think that's what scares me the most right now.
Well, you just got to say yes to the adventure.
Got to say yes to it and start cutting out my time and traveling and getting interviews. And, you know, I know what it undertakes, and it's just sitting there, and I need to do it because some of my elders are getting older every day. And, you know, it's something that I really need to get on. So thank you for reminding me about that. But, yeah, this might be the time of the year to do it.
Absolutely. So, Steve, tell us more about NAP.
Well, as I stated earlier, NAP, that we go to, you know, places that have Native history.
Can you go in more detail what NAP is, the acronym?
Native American Paranormal Project.
Native American Paranormal
Project. We like to say we're nappy. But, you know, that's what we like to do. And the reason we got together is pretty weird. I mean, our producer is Mark Williams, and he's a filmmaker also. And we all got together through going through film festivals and talking. And him and our other co-hosts got to talking and watching one of those movies on TV or those shows, and they think, hey, what if natives did that? And it was born there, and he's a guy that gets after it, and he gave me a call, and I have no interest in the paranormal whatsoever. You know, I was one of those guys that didn't play around graveyards. You know, I didn't whistle around the house at night, so I wasn't going to miss it, but I thought about it, and I said, yeah, it would be interesting. And I came along, and then we had a few other people. And the thing is about us is we're totally different tribes. We have Creek people. We have Choctaws, Chickasaws, Mississippi Choctaws, you know. And so everybody's got different beliefs, and we all come from different walks of life. And there's not too many of us that's the same. But we all get together at this one time, and we go do these investigations. And the first time we did it, you know, it was a little raw. We were kind of worried, but the second time we went to Wheelock Mission, and that is a Choctaw Nation owned establishment, which was a boarding school for girls. And you know, for a bunch of first time guys going there with basic stuff that you can buy at any of your, you know, you use your equipment that we use that you can buy anywhere. I mean, we caught some great stuff that, you know, we could, I don't mind putting it on national TV because it's just as good. And the thing is, we don't holler at things, because we have a good idea of where we're going and what we're walking into. So there's no need to be, you know, to confront anything unless it's one of those older gentlemen. But, you know, just our presence alone in one room really angered some of those spirits. And it sounds weird that I say angered those spirits, but you catch it on those devices we have. And you see it at the time, you know, you see it on video.
What is, like, some of the maybe some of the things that can't be translated on film or audio, what is, like, do you get, like, a sense of your other senses kind of
amplified? Yeah, yeah, and that's, you know, that's something else, too. You always hear them on TV saying, I could feel that energy. I could feel the energy around me, and I said, what are they talking about? Well, the best way I can describe it is like this, is if you're self-conscious and you walk into a room and you all of a sudden you feel like if everybody's looking at you, you feel the blood rise up to your ears and your hair feels like it's standing. Well, that's how it feels.
Yeah.
And the reason I figured that out was that, you know, you got the video and then you also got the recording device, and you know they schedule out at the same time, so I knew how I was feeling at that time, and you know, and it just came naturally. Now when I feel it, I understand what it is.
Right on. Is this on, how can people see this?
Well, we're on Facebook, we're under Native American Paranormal Project, and we're also on YouTube under Native American Paranormal Project. Just search it and you'll find us, either one, or you can find me, Steve Jacob. I'm on Facebook and I'll lead you right there. I'm always good use for followers, but that's where we can find it, Native American Paranormal Project.
And do you have like an Instagram account that people can check out as well?
Yes, that's my personal one, Knockin' East 75, and you know, I'm a whimsical photographer, which I like to state, and I'll try to catch good photography and family, and you know, I'm just now picking out the use of what it's for. It took me a little bit. I'm always on Facebook, but
yeah,
popularity runs its time out after a while.
Yeah. Well, this is like the summation of what you're working towards, kind of question that we've asked a few artists so far. And it's now your turn. What do you hope for the future in your field, and maybe your audiences? What are you hoping in the next 20 years you would like to see as consequence of what you did in these times?
Well, I think right now we're already showing people that, you know, you don't need $1,000 budget to make a film. You know, technology's far enough now that you can do it on a good budget, you know, make a good movie with a good budget. And, you know, and that just hopefully inspires young Choctaws and natives at that point, young Native people to, you know, tell their stories and like this, because every different tribe has a good story to tell from their family. Absolutely. You know,
yeah.
And that's what I hope it turns out to be, you know, and it is, it's coming around. Like I said, Instagram, and, you know, eventually it'll come around to people wanting to make movies and things like that. But that's one of the things I really enjoy when we present, is we have a lot of young people come up there and they talk about what got us started, and we tell them how, you know, just go.
I like your multi-pronged assault, where it's not only telling the stories, but inspiring the next generation in what you're doing. And I think that even ties really into that. You know, you're being a good ancestor to those that have come, that are coming after you. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the recordings you're doing and how you're able to accomplish this seems to be, one, very gratifying for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm a product of good ancestors. Yeah. You know, now think about it. Like I told you, I just want to, you know, you pay it back, is just what they say.
Yeah.
And that's how I want to do. I try in any way, you know, even through athletics or whatever we do. I try to give my time in and give back.
I like to tell my kids, my daughter once, she was complaining when we were at Stomp Dance about how, why am I holding hands with this sweaty boy in front of me, and this guy and this kid behind me is just gross. And I said, honey, you're looking at it all wrong. You're holding hands with every single Chickasaw that came before you in this hand. And in your other hand, you're holding hands with every single Chickasaw who has come after you. And you are part of a very long chain, and you are a very tiny link in it. And everyone has their time at the wheel. And your day will come. Right now it's my turn, and someday it'll be your turn, and someday it'll be someone else's. And we got to try making it better every time, a refinement.
Yeah, that's it right there. Put yourself in that chain. Keep it going.
I think accepting that, you know, it seems kind of hard to admit your own mortality. And I guess that's what you're admitting. And I really see that in Native society, there's that a bit of an embracement to it that you don't see it in a lot of the Western culture. Like an embracement of the temporality of life.
Yeah, you know, it's like you want to leave it better than when you got here.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think in Native population, I mean, it has to be. You know, we're getting more educated, and you know, on the backside of that is, you know, we're going out and meeting different people and intermarrying. You know, so you know, I mean, but that's just life, and we're there. We'll survive.
Yeah,
we'll figure something out.
Well, I mean, we always have. It wasn't. It's hard to say what came before an interpollinating.
Yeah.
Before 1491.
Before they let us off the land, you know, let us go run around and do things. Yeah.
Exactly.
Before they let us out of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
To get away from our relatives. They.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, don't lie, man. I mean, you know, I was in college. I was ready to get out. So I went to Haskell, which was the best thing, which was all native school.
Yeah.
And that's where I picked up a lot of my skills as cameraman and stuff like that, because I took TV there. So, you know, it's all good stuff. It's all coming around in circles. It's helped me out real good.
What is some of your interest technologically? Do you see things or trends, or what interests you right now that maybe didn't exist just even a couple years ago, or was like just
the flight of imagination? Well, right now, what's got me going on is I'm looking into the, you know, I'm helping this artist, and I'm trying to help him, I guess, produce music. I'm into music right now. And I got some software that can help. But I'm not using none of the drums they give us. I'm using native drums, hand-built drums. We're using stick ball sticks beat together as part of our music, and also rattles and things of that nature that we use in powwow and stuff. So I'm trying to put all that together, which we already heard through a Tribe Called Red.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to go a little bit non, you know, try to get out of that technological way and go back to the old way and try to mix it in there.
It's almost like Natives Unplugged.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Right on. I guess we can go into now, you know, I wanted to dig more deeper, and unlike some of our previous, or some of my previous podcasts, where we have our set of questions, and we let the artist kind of talk about their specific projects. Yours is kind of an evolving thing, and you go to places that the most casual viewer may not have the nerve or even the inclination to know where to begin to look for. Can you go into some detail about maybe the more hairier experiences and maybe like the kinds where you felt like
scared,
bugged out?
And, yeah, you know? Yeah. That Wheelock Mission. I was telling you that one. That was there was a lot of bad things that happened at that place. You know, long time ago and up to lately. You know, early days. And then the good old boys just running the local town next way, you know. So
yeah.
It was a happy place. For some girls, it was good. You know, I had aunts that went there and they said they loved it. And then other people I talked about just did they did not want to talk about it.
Can you give more detail for our audiences that maybe aren't in our in the local Indian Territory area? What part of the United States is this?
This is in southeast Oklahoma, the very corner between around Texas, Arkansas, and It's way down. I mean, it's probably about within 20 to 30 miles of the state line to Texas. So, it's way back there in the woods, and like I said, it was a boarding school, one of those boarding schools, and so there's a lot of atrocities that went on. But as we were doing our little video there, and we had to come towards the end of the night, and we had gone to the second floor, and you know how we, you know, they call them props. You lay out toys and stuff on that floor, and we were in the hallway, on the second floor again. So I back up near that hallway window, and I'm filming our guys. And then, just like you feel when somebody wants to rub their hands through your hair, I felt it, and right now my skin's crawling. I remember it, but yeah. So I put my camera down, and one of our buddies that I was filming, I said, "Hey," I said, "take a picture." So he took a picture, and then after a while we got out of there. And what about a year later, I looked at that picture. But after that happened, I was done for the night. I told him, I said, "That's it." It was about 5:30 in the morning anyway, so
yeah.
So I gave it up. I said, "I'm done, man. Something done touched me, and I'm getting out of here." So we get out of there, and you know, there's a lot of veins to this story. So you know, we go home, we leave there, me and my wife, we come home, and I guess sometimes after that we start hearing things in the house, and it, you know, at first it sounds like little footsteps running around. And we also got a little girl that stays with us. She was about 8 at the time, so sometimes we think it was her, but then there were times when she wasn't at the house. We'd hear the playing around.
So something kind of,
I think something latched on, yeah. So I was sitting there, you know, I'd be sitting there and I'd see like somebody leaning around the corner and look, and I'd try to catch them, you know, and I was having that kind of things. And I got to thinking, I said, well, maybe, you know, this girl's a ghost from there, and she feels real comfortable with us, and she's loved. stuff like that. I said, I guess I'll just let her kind of hang around here. And, you know, there were some mornings we'd be laying, you know, asleep on Saturday, and our little girl wouldn't be with us. She'd be at her mother's, and we could hear her door open, somebody walking down the hall. And then what got it kind of weird, it was our door opened a little bit.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So after that, then we heard it going to the kitchen, whatever it was. But we knew. We said, we got to do something about this. And I got to talking to that at a presentation we had, and somebody spoke up, you know, because they had seen the video in which I talked Choctaw there. And one of the ladies said, I think since you spoke Choctaw to it, they felt it comfortable with you. And I said, yeah, maybe they did. You know, I said, you know, you're right. You know, maybe they're very comfortable around us. And after that, one of our team members who just found out that we was having these experiences said, hey, Steve, whatever it is, you need to get it out. Because just think, if there's something good running around in your house, something bad can also come in there at the same time.
Yeah.
So immediately after that, you know, we went and did the blessings of the house through the cedar and all that. And didn't have no problems anymore. I believe I got one picture of a shape right in front of my TV at one time because our dog was barking at nothing.
Oh, really?
So I got a few pictures in, and that's what I got. So that's one of the more scarier ones that I have ever, if not, it stands out quite a bit on that one because it had
had
stories to it.
It reminds me.
I forgot to tell you what.
Yeah.
Because that picture I told you to take.
Yeah.
I see it about a year later because we're presenting, and then he blows it up for me, and there's a face and a pain. A white face.
Yeah.
So that stands up too, and that's on our Facebook page, so check it out.
Is that episode also on Instagram? I mean, not Instagram, YouTube?
Actually, we're trying to get it on there.
Okay.
We're trying, because that's one of our best ones, and we did it in cahoots with the Choctaws, and I don't think they understood exactly what was going on. And when it came out and what it showed, and the response we got to it, which was huge, I think it scared them, you know. And they said, well, you know, we don't know now.
Yeah.
And so it's been in limbo ever since, but I think we might put it out there.
That's awesome. I heard that in some conversations you may be starting a podcast kind of as an extension of this.
Yeah. You know, I got the gift of gab. I like to talk. And like I said, I got interesting friends just like you. And you know, when I can go somewhere, I can set it up. It'll be a good time to see what's happening in Indian country on my travels.
Absolutely. Well, dude, I really appreciate this conversation. Is there anything you want to add? Is there any other places that people can maybe purchase information or like episodes?
Our producer, Mark Williams, you can go on Native Boy Productions. He not only does these, he makes his own movies. He's a filmmaker, so check out Native Boy Productions, our Native American Paranormal Project, and you'll find us there, and we'd appreciate it, and give us a holler.
All right, my man. Thank you so much.
Hey, had a good time being here.
Thanks for coming in, Steve. That was a great interview. And thank you, everyone that tuned in tonight. I promise you keep on coming along. This will get better and better and smoother and smoother. And I think tonight was a good example of that. So, until we meet again, Chapisa Lacho. See you around.